Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, rejoined by Andrew P. Shea. Andy, typically at this point, we announce our winner of the Ask Ross segment. We are not going to do that today because, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at things, we had a very robust conversation about all of the opt-outs and what that meant for Penn State, college football in general, and the conversation spilled over from quarter two to quarter number three. With that said, I promise you, next week, Ask Ross will be back. We'll get to your questions, and we'll get to as many of them as we can. Make sure you send in your questions. It'll be after the bowl game. I'm sure you'll have questions about the game for Ross, so please send them in. We will get to them. Now, Andrew, enough about the opt-outs. Let's talk about the actual game itself. Penn State's defense is going to be playing shorthanded. Pretty much half the starters are out, along with the defensive coordinator. How does that work out for acting coordinator Poindexter?
Yeah, good luck for you. Have some fun, and you can take all the risks you want because you're kind of playing with house money. I mean, when you lose four of your front seven to opt-outs, you're arguably your best player on defense, which is, you know, easily Jaquan Brisker, your most impactful player. Everything you're doing and everything you're going to be doing, everything you're going to be working on leading up to this game and the plan you have for this game is pointing forward, 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 forward. In other words, you're kind of getting an early jump, so you're playing with house money as an interim coordinator. Go play, have some fun. Don't be afraid to take some risks. You're going to need it because you're facing a pretty good offense. I know they got an opt-out, too, in a key spot. And the other part of the component is, yeah, the opt-outs are an impact, but it impacts both teams a little bit, but it also impacts this game. In other words, these are not the same teams. They're not the same teams. They're very different teams than if they had even played in, you know, late October or early November, right? They're the best playmaker, the best known playmakers for each team, right? That is Jahan Dotson at wide receiver for Penn State and Treylon Burks, the uber-talented wide receiver for Arkansas. They're the known big play dudes in this game. They were the guys that you would have looked at and said, these guys could change this game. Neither one of them is going to play, so that immediately changed the games, and Penn State's defense is going to be vastly different than you would have seen in any of the other 12 games this year. I mean, come on, five opt-outs is a lot, and they're key components. So I think you can lower the expectations defensively for this game, not because you're trying to not set the bar low, but because you're going to be playing a lot of greenhorns. And at linebacker, I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Well, let's look at this first of all before we decide who will fill those linebacker positions, Andy. As you mentioned, Arkansas lost by far their best weapon, receiving weapon, in Treylon Burks. 67 receptions, over 1,100 yards. Nobody else caught more than 20 passes for them. Meanwhile, they have three good running backs, a monster of a quarterback who's huge and very much a threat to run the ball also. So if you're Arkansas, do you say that's a depleted defense, missing two starters on the defensive line, two starters at linebacker? We're just going to play, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We're going to try to run right at you. And does Penn State have to prepare for that?
Penn State absolutely has to be prepared for that because that's kind of what Arkansas does anyway, right? They are built on their coach is old school, right? They're built on line play, both sides of the ball, and being able to control the game and tempo with the running game. I know the quarterback's got like 500 rushing yards and they have a bunch of running backs. That is their sort of MO. the playmaking ability on the outside, yeah, he's got a gun for an arm, especially as a deep thrower. And he had his guy. His guy isn't going to be there. But he's still got a gun, and he still throws a deep ball really well. So, but I think Penn State has to get ready for muscle football. That's from Arkansas, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. They're literally just going to come right at you and be in your face. They're not going to try and do something fancy or something outside the box. Absolutely not. They're going to come straight at you downhill.
You mentioned this about the linebacker position. The question is, what do they do there? A couple options that they have are Jesse Luceda, who had been a linebacker playing defensive end now, where to my untrained eyes, he's a better defensive end than he is linebacker. And the other option is help from the other area, which is Jonathan Sutherland, typically a safety, could also play linebacker. So which one do you go with? Both of them? Some combination?
So I don't know, to be honest with you, not to dodge your question. Yeah, I think Jesse Luceda's best role is in that hybrid. And oh, by the way, they kind of have a need there now with Arnold saying he is opting out of the bowl game. They have a – can they flip and move Nick over into that end and play, you know, play Luceda in that sort of hybrid DN role that he's kind of flourished at? He can play linebacker. I think you're going to see a ton of Curtis Jacobs, right? Like, Curtis Jacobs is a given. That guy's going to be on the field. You're going to look at Curtis Jacobs – in 2022 in a full-time role, not a you know, situational role where he flourished in the second half of the season, by the way. I think we can both agree on that. But I think you're going to see that. I do think you're going to see Charlie Fortney. I do. I mean, when I would look at Penn State's defense in games, the guy coming in at linebacker occasionally that I saw in getting snaps was Charlie Fortney. So I think you're going to see some scenario of that. I don't know if they're going to move Sutherland down to try and fill a role and let Luceda, Jesse play the hybrid role. I really don't have a good feel on that. I think it's an option, but I think it's something they've had to learn in these weeks leading up to the game is what is their best scenario to use? They have some options, but it's not obviously Brandon Smith and Ellis Brooks.
Obviously, they're losing so many of those players on the defensive side of the ball. Let's flip it around. Let's look at the offense. And lost Jahan Dotson. I think Penn State is better prepared to lose their best receiver than Arkansas is. It means everybody else stepping up a little bit. But I think the big gain, if you will, for Penn State might be a healthy Sean Clifford.
Yes, he was not the same quarterback after the Iowa game, and definitely not the second half of the season. That impacted this offense because you saw up until the halftime of the Iowa game, in that beginning part of the season, you got the full 2021 Sean Clifford. What you got the second half was sort of, it had to be a what I would call a dumbed-down version of Sean, simply because the injuries prevented him from using his legs. Not that they were using him a lot, but it was highly effective. It was always sort of just hanging there this year, right? It wasn't like they're trying to run Sean Clifford into the ground. It was just sort of a low-hanging fruit out there that he had sort of nuanced and found a way to use as a weapon, and that wasn't available the second half. So I think you get to see the 2022 preview of the two receivers not named Jahan Dotson, right? Keandre Lambert-Smith and Parker Washington. You get to see them in elevated roles and different spots. So, I mean, but you're still going to have the same problems up front and the running game not producing. That's kind of not going to go away, right? So that is an element that if you think it's going to change because they've had 3 weeks of practice and Clifford's healthy, then you are wrong. That's just all I'm going to say, because that's not going to change.
Well, you are, though, going to see a bit of a shuffled offensive line. And, you know, is there going to be a running back who will step to the front? Because they did at least get to push the reboot button, the reset button, with these 3 or 4 weeks of practice to get healthy. Maybe the offensive coordinator rethinks the running game a little bit?
No, No, okay. Sorry, Jim. No. Arkansas strength, right? Its matchups matter too, right? Arkansas strength is its defensive front. I mean, they're weak. Every team has its weaknesses and holes. They can be had on the back end. But up front, I know their one DN opted out as well, and he's an NFL prospect. But that defensive front's still a beast, and their linebackers are pretty good. So matchup-wise, it's not necessarily favorable for Penn State and that O-line slash running game slash 12-game odyssey that was this year to get well in 3 weeks and go into that team. It's just not the right matchup to expect that to happen. Sorry to rain on your parade.
Okay. That's fine. You get to them. You're not going to be predicting a big game from the running backs. What are you going to predict for this game, and what is your bold prediction?
So I'll just say, first of all, real quick, in thinking about this, sometimes it matters who wants to be there. Arkansas hasn't been in a bowl game since 2016, and they won four of their last five games. Penn State outkicked its coverage in terms of getting this bowl bid, and they lost five of their last seven games, including four of those losses, by four or fewer points. They're not the same teams, though, so you kind of can throw that out. I'm still a big believer in that Arkansas has just too many matchup advantages. I think Penn State and Clifford are going to take their shots. There's just too much missing on defense to keep this Arkansas Razorbacks offense from being the alpha dog in this game. I have it Arkansas 34, Penn State 20, and this isn't my bold prediction, but I'm going to say Penn State scores more points in the second half than Arkansas, and they still are going to lose by double digits.
Wow, so you have Arkansas winning big. You have them winning by two touchdowns. So here's what I think, Andy, and you alluded to it. I do believe Arkansas going into the game, if you look at it, they're happy to be there. They're going to come in with the right attitude. And most of the time, I think that's a huge factor in a bowl game. We've seen that when, you know, that group of five team plays on New Year's Day and they'll be a top team because they're happy to be there, whereas that other team is disappointed they didn't make the playoffs. So I think there's some of that factored in. But the other part to this is I believe the young players from Penn State, for them, this is going to be an opportunity. Hey, I still think they'd be a better team with those five starters on defense and Jahan Dotson. But I do believe the difference is going to be a healthy Sean Clifford. That's the difference. I believe he'll play more like he did the first couple games of the season when Penn State was a top 10 team. He may have to have a big game, so that's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting over 300 yards passing from Sean Clifford and a Penn State 28-24 win. What do you have?
My bold prediction is that Sean Clifford attempts 40 or more passes in this game. So
that would help me get my prediction done too, Andy. So we shall see. But that is it for the show. Enjoy the bowl game, everybody. Thank you for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.